chapter 21, and I promise you we'll be reading from that text in just a moment. As you turn to Revelation 21, let me just reiterate what I said earlier today, and that is I am very thankful and very humbled and very appreciative of the opportunity to be here with you for this week. I have several friends here at this congregation. I've had a relationship with this congregation for about 8 or 9 years now. And I've always been thankful for this church and the work you do in this community. And I love you so much, and I really appreciate you giving me a chance to come back again and be here with you for this week. Nan and Pop, that's what I call them, Annie and Cheryl. I call them Nan and Pop. They're just my dear friends. I love them so much. They've always been so good to me, my family. And I recognize many of you from several years ago, and some of you I see new faces, and that's a good thing. It's good to see growth in the congregation. And I really appreciate the Scarpinos. Hope I'm saying it right. Appreciate their hospitality, and they're just such fine folks. I know you're happy they're here, and I know they're doing a great job here, and I'm thankful they let me be in their home this week. But thank you for just giving me an opportunity to be here. I hope we have a good week together, and I'm looking forward to our time together studying the Bible throughout the course of this week. I want to begin the lesson by asking you something, and that is, when you hear me say the word heaven, what immediately pops into your mind? In other words, what do you think heaven is going to look like? What do you think it's going to be like? What do you think it's going to feel like to be in heaven? I ask you that question because when it comes to heaven, for so many people, they have so many distorted views. For example, when some people think about heaven, they think of this right here. They think of a big pearly gate. They think of a big pearly gate with Jesus or with the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter standing at that gate just waiting to let them in one day. Other people, when they think about heaven, they think about angels. We think about angels with wings flying around, blowing horns and playing harps and all other different kinds of mechanical instruments. And still others, when they think about heaven, they think about those last two chapters of Revelation, Revelation 21 and chapter 22, where the Bible describes heaven, many people believe, as a holy and a beautiful city. A city with great and high walls and foundations of jasper and gold and pearls and other precious stones. So many people, when they think about heaven, they think about Revelation chapter 21. And while, ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that heaven is going to be beautiful. I believe that with all my heart. But the more I study those last two chapters of Revelation, I got to tell you something. The more I study that, the more I'm convinced that those chapters are not talking about the beauty of heaven, but rather they're talking about the glorified church, the glorified bride of Christ after it had endured persecution in the first century. And let me tell you why I believe that. Are you in Revelation 21? I want to show you, let's start reading with verse number 10. I believe that one of the critical rules of Bible study is you got to keep verses in the context. Wouldn't you agree with that? Got to keep verses in the context. So we go to Revelation 21 and look at verse number 10. In verse 10, John says that he carried me away. And he there is a reference to an angel. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of what? Not being in heaven, but coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as of a stone of crystal clear jasper. And then he's going to go on to describe this heavenly city, this heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. What I just want you to see is when you keep the verses in their context, when you keep these chapters in their context, I think what John is describing here is not heaven itself, but he's talking about the glorified bride of Christ. He's using apocalyptic language to talk about the glorified church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean that heaven's going to be not going to be beautiful. That doesn't mean that heaven is not going to be glorious. It's just that contextually, when we keep these verses in their context, it doesn't appear that heaven's beauty is described in those verses. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to heaven, as fleshly and carnal human beings, we got a lot of questions, don't we? We want to know what it's going to look like. We want to know what it's going to feel like. We want to know what it's going to be like. We want to know if when we get there one day, are we going to be sad because some of our family members and friends didn't make it as well? Let's just be honest. Those are the kind of questions we have about heaven. And unfortunately, my friends, I got to tell you, for many of those questions, the Bible doesn't give us answers to them. You see, we got to accept the fact that the Bible doesn't answer every trivial question we may have about heaven. But what the Bible does do is it does give us some promises, some assurance, some important things that we need to know so that we can make wanting to go to heaven our top priority in life. And so this morning in our study, if you don't mind, as we get into the second lesson of this gospel meeting series, this morning as we continue talking about some important things that God wants us to know, if you don't mind, I want to talk with you about heaven. I want to suggest to you this morning that heaven is going to be great, that when we make it to heaven one day, it's going to be great. And it's going to be great, not so much because the Bible describes how beautiful it's going to be, but it's going to be great because, number one, according to the Bible, heaven is where God is. That's right, heaven is where God is. And let me tell you something, of all the points I'm going to give you this morning, none of them are going to be able to top this point right here. This is the best you're going to get this morning, right here and right now. The number one reason we should want to go to heaven, the number one reason why heaven is going to be great, is because heaven is where God lives. Heaven is where Jesus lives. Heaven is where the Holy Spirit lives. Heaven is where the faithful angels of God live. That's why heaven is going to be great. Heaven is going to be great because that's where God lives. Let me show you some verses. I go to Psalm 11 and verse 4. In Psalm 11 and verse 4, the Word of God says this. It says, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is where? The Lord's throne is in heaven. The Lord's throne is in heaven, not on this earth. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. You go to Psalm 115 in verse number 3, and the Bible says clearly that our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases. The Bible says that God is in heaven. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus says, when you pray, you acknowledge that God lives in heaven. God the Father lives in heaven. We then move on to John 14 and verse 2. The verse our brother read for us this morning. And Jesus says in John 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many dwelling places. There Jesus is talking about heaven. He says, in His Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, He would have told us, for He goes to prepare a place for us. And then I'm reminded of Acts chapter 7. You remember when the gospel preacher named Stephen was being killed by the Jewish Sanhedrin Council because he preached the gospel, he told the people that their hearts had rejected God. And in Acts chapter 7, as Stephen is being stoned to death, the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And he gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, there are a couple of important observations I want you to notice from these verses. First, I want you to notice how despite what the scoffers say, despite what the mockers say, heaven is a real place, right? Heaven is a real place. That's what the Bible says. It's not some made-up place like Never Never Land where Peter Pan lives. It's not some figment of man's imagination. No, according to the Bible, heaven is a real place. In fact, not only is it a real place, but notice how in all of these verses we see that heaven is a wonderful place. It is a great place because that's where God is. That's where God the Father reigns with His Son at His right hand. That is the best thing about heaven. The best thing about heaven is that's where God the Father is, and that's where Jesus is. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think we talk about that enough. I don't think we appreciate that enough as the people of God. Unfortunately, I fear that so often when we think about heaven on this earth, we think about its beauty. And we think about its provisions, and we think about the fact that how when we get there, we're going to get to be with the Apostle Paul and Peter and with all our family and friends who have died in the Lord. So often when we think about heaven, we think about those things first. And at the same time, we fail to appreciate that the greatest thing about heaven is none of those things. The greatest thing about heaven is that's where God is. That's where Jesus is. Heaven is the place where Christians, where the people of God, we're going to dwell in the perfect presence of God. That's the greatest thing about heaven. And that's something we don't get to experience right now on this earth. Now, don't misunderstand. While we live on this earth as Christians, it is true that God's presence is always with us as His people. God's presence is even with us right now as we worship. We're always in the presence of our God. We're always in the presence of Jesus. God is always looking out for us, and He's watching after us, and He's ready to listen to our prayers and attend to our prayers. No doubt those things are true, even while we live on this earth. But we got to remember, my friends, that no matter how much God watches over us on this earth, God doesn't live on this earth. God lives in heaven. We live on this earth, but God reigns in heaven. As of right now, we are not in the perfect presence of God. We're not in the perfect presence of Jesus. We're not living with God in His house. Not right now, we're not. When we get to heaven, that's going to change. You see, in heaven, we're going to be living with God. And we're going to be living with Jesus in their house. In heaven, we're going to behold their everlasting glory. In heaven, we're going to get to worship them and praise their glorious name. In heaven, what was lost in the Garden of Eden, that's going to be regained. No longer will man be separated from God. In heaven, we're going to be in the perfect presence of God. We're going to be in perfect fellowship with God. What was lost in the garden is going to be regained. And that's the best thing about heaven. In fact, if that doesn't motivate you to want to go to heaven above anything else, then I don't know what will. Heaven is going to be great. And it's going to be great because we're going to be with our Father. We're going to be with Jesus, our Master, our Redeemer. We're going to be with the saved from all creation. We're going to be with the Holy Spirit. This is something that God promises us in the Bible. This is something that we can absolutely be certain of when it comes to heaven. Regardless of the view you hold in Revelation 21, you can't debate the fact that heaven is going to be great because that's where God lives. But if that's not enough to motivate you to want to go to heaven, a second reason why heaven is going to be great is because in heaven, there's not going to be any wickedness. There's not going to be any wickedness in heaven. You see, we currently live in a world that is full of wickedness and sin. Wouldn't you agree with that? We live in a world that's full of sin. I mean, just look around. You see all this unrighteousness and wickedness being promoted. If you don't believe me when I say that, just turn on the news tonight. In our culture all the time, there's wickedness being promoted, whether it's our culture and our media for pushing everybody to accept homosexuality as normal. People now praising those who are cross-dressers and transgenders. The widespread acceptance of people living together without the benefit of marriage. The promotion by some politicians that legalized marijuana, and the fact that a lot of people believe that a woman has the right to choose if she wants to murder her unborn baby. You see, as each day passes by, it seems like our world and our culture gets crazier and crazier. It seems like our world is getting more and more corrupt, and I gotta tell you, that's very discouraging to me. It is discouraging to look out into this world and see so many people call bad things good and good things bad. But thankfully in heaven, we as the people of God, we're not going to have to worry about that anymore. Thankfully in heaven, we're not going to have to worry about experiencing, seeing all this wickedness being promoted in the world. Let me tell you something. In heaven, there's not going to be any cursing. There's not going to be any foul language. There's not going to be any homosexuality, men marrying men, women marrying women. There's not going to be any abortions, any murdering the unborn. There's not going to be any oppression of the poor. There's not going to be any drunkenness and lying and gossip and backbiting and hatred. In heaven, you're not going to have to worry about any of that stuff because in heaven, there's not going to be any more devil. It's not going to be any more Satan. Remember this morning we read 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. There Peter said, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. My friends, what Peter says in that verse, that's something we got to deal with right now. Right now as we live in this world, we got to worry about the devil. We got to worry about the devil assaulting us. And working hard to try to get us to give up our faith. Now, as we travel through this life, the devil assaults us. He preys on us. He tries to do whatever he has to do to cause us to lose our souls. That's what we deal with right now. We have to battle the devil. But in heaven, we're not going to have to battle him anymore. The devil's not going to be in heaven. We know where he's going to be. The Bible says he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Well, he's going to be tormented forever and ever. So heaven's not going to have any wickedness because the father of lies, Satan, he's not going to be in heaven. And in heaven, there's not going to be any wickedness because in heaven, there's going to be a new order of things. When you go in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going in my Bible to 2 Peter, the third chapter. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, the apostle Peter says this. He says, for the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Verse 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people are you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat, but according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I want you to notice a couple of very important things from these verses. Number one, I want you to notice how in verse number 10, Peter says that when the Lord comes back, the earth is going to be destroyed. When the Lord comes back, planet Earth will be no more. It's all going to be destroyed with fire. And since that is guaranteed to take place, secondly, I want you to notice how Peter says that reality should motivate us to live a certain way. Peter says that instead of getting wrapped up in the pleasures and the wickedness of this world, we need to strive to be holy in our conduct, godly in our behavior, and eagerly looking forward to new heavens and a new earth. Well, when Peter says looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth here, he's not talking about God making a new planet Earth again. Instead, he's talking about a new order of things. He's talking about us looking forward to a time, looking forward to a day when this wicked world is gone and we get to go to heaven to experience the blessings and a way of living that we've never experienced before. That's what Peter is talking about. He says a new order. In fact, part of this new order includes being part of something where there's no more sin, no more wickedness. No more corruption, no more temptation. Remember, Peter says there that heaven is a place where there is no unrighteousness. He says no unrighteousness dwells. He says there's righteousness that dwells in heaven, not unrighteousness. We're looking forward to a place where there's righteousness dwelling, not unrighteousness. Peter is telling us that when you get to heaven, there's not going to be any wickedness. No wickedness in heaven. And so that's something else that makes heaven great. Heaven is great because that's where God is. Heaven is great because there's no devil, no sin, no temptation. There's a new order of things, a place where righteousness dwells. But then thirdly, now I want to show you how heaven is going to be great. Because there we're going to receive our reward. We're going to receive our reward. In fact, heaven is our reward. Heaven is the ultimate prize. It's the ultimate inheritance that God wants to give you. Above anything else, my friends, I want you to understand that God wants to give you a place with Him in His house. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 12. In Matthew 5 and verse 12, Jesus says that if you endure persecution for His sake, great is your reward in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5, Peter says that as Christians, we have an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled. It is reserved in heaven for us. My friends, if you are a Christian this morning, If you are somebody who's had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, Jesus says that your reward in heaven is great. It is wonderful. And it is wonderful, number one, because your reward is all about giving you rest. Your reward is about you receiving rest. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord, because from now on, they get to what? They get to rest from their labors. I want you to put that what you find in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. These are some really wonderful verses. Hebrews the 4th chapter. Look at verse number 1, please. In Hebrews the 4th chapter, in verse number 1, the Hebrew writer says, the Christians, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any of you may seem to have come short of it. Drop down to verse 9. Look at verse 9. Peter says, so there remains, notice we haven't got it yet, but there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did his. Notice how the Hebrew writer emphasizes rest. He emphasizes rest for the people of God. You see, if you are tired, if you're tired of all the trials and tribulations you've been going through in life, if you're tired of being persecuted for your faith, if you're tired of people mocking you because you're a Christian, if you're tired of being discouraged, if you're tired of fighting the devil, if you're tired of people hurt you and turn their back on you in your life, if you're tired of those things, then you need to be faithful to God so you can go to heaven. That's what you need to do. You need to go to heaven, because the Bible says when you get to heaven, you're going to get rest. You're going to get rest from every trial and tribulation you face in this life. That's the promise of God. You're going to get rest. And not only will you get rest, you're also going to get glory. You're going to get glory in the sense that you're going to be glorified with your Master Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8. In Romans, the 8th chapter, look at verse number 16. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, we look at verse number 16. And the Apostle Paul says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be what? So that we can be glorified with Him. Paul says that when we get to heaven, we're going to be glorified with Jesus. We're going to reign as joint heirs with Him. Here Paul says that in heaven, we're going to get glory. We're going to be glorified with our Master and our King, Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says. In fact, part of that glory we're going to receive in heaven includes the very bodies we receive. You see, when the Lord Jesus comes back, we're going to be given new body, glorious bodies. I'm reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 50. There Paul says that when the Lord comes again and the resurrection takes place, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be clothed with immortality. That is, we're going to be given new bodies that are incorruptible, bodies that are immortal, bodies that are incapable of getting old and experiencing pain. Bodies that will never require surgeries. Bodies that will never require therapy. Bodies that will never require expensive medications. Bodies that will never be subject to ulcers or cancer or high blood pressure or diabetes or aches and pains. Bodies that will never be subject to death and the rigors that your physical body has to go through now. In heaven, you're going to be given an incorruptible body, a glorious body, a body that will be forever strong, forever young, that will be incorruptible. That's part of your reward. And then consider this, how heaven is your reward, because that's your true home. That's your true home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. There the Apostle Paul says that we should prefer to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. You see, as Christians, sometimes we sing a song called This World Is Not My Home. You know that song I'm talking about? We sing that song sometimes, don't we? And I really like that song. I like that song because what it says is so true. This world is not our home. It's not. We are just a passing through. You see, according to the Bible, this world is not our home. It may be beautiful. It may be fun at times. It may bring us some satisfaction from time to time. But it is not our home. Our real home is in heaven. Heaven is our true home because, again, that's where our Father lives. That's where our Master and our King Jesus lives. Heaven is our home. And so let us never get so wrapped up in this world. Let us never get so wrapped up in the pleasures of this world that we forget that. Let us never forget that in the big scheme of things, we're really just here for a short period of time. You may live to be 100 years old, but that is a very small period of time compared to eternity. And heaven is where you want to be for eternity. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What I just want you to see is heaven's going to be great. It's going to be great because there you're going to get your reward. This is your reward. Your reward is rest. Your reward is glory. Your reward is a new glorious body that will forever be strong. Your reward is a place in your true home, a place in your Father's house. And the greatest thing about receiving these things from God is when you receive them from God, you're going to get to experience them forever. This is another thing that makes heaven great. Heaven is great because when you get there, you're going to get to be there forever. You're never going to have to leave. And I really want you to think about that. I mean, isn't it true that in this life, that there are a lot of things that we get to experience that bring us joy, that bring us happiness? Getting married, having children, some of you have grandchildren, buying a new home, getting a high-paying job, going to a ball game. Those are things that can bring you joy and happiness in life. But even though we get to enjoy these things in life from time to time, you and I both know they don't last forever. You and I both know that nothing great lasts forever. You may take a nice vacation somewhere, but eventually you got to come back home and got to go back to work. Nothing good in this world truly lasts forever, but that's not the way it's going to be when you go to heaven. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 46, Jesus, as he talks about the judgment day, he says those who reject his will, they're going to receive everlasting punishment, but the righteous will receive eternal, notice that, eternal life. Put that in what you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We read these verses typically at a funeral, but I think they're useful beyond just being at a funeral. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse number 15. In verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be called together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I just want you to notice how over and over again, the Bible says when you get to heaven, you're going to be there forever. The Bible says when you get to heaven, you're going to receive eternal life. You're going to always be with the Lord. Just like those who go to hell, they're going to be there forever. Those who go to heaven, they're going to be there forever as well. When you get to heaven, you're not going to have to worry about God kicking you out. So often we wonder if God's going to kick us out. No, God's not going to kick you out. You're not going to have to say goodbye to those you love again. You're not going to have to watch the clock. You're not going to have to worry about all good things coming to an end. No, when you get to heaven, you're going to get to enjoy all these things forever. You're never going to have to leave. And that's a great thing. Now, my friends, these are just a few of the assurances, promises God has given us when it comes to heaven. And I hope you can see that regardless of the view you hold on Revelation 21, these things are undisputable, indisputable. Can't dispute these things. Can't debate these things. These things are clear. They're easy to understand. They're easy to recognize. But here's the real question. The question is this. The question, my friend, is how bad do you want those things? How bad do you want to go to heaven? How bad do you want to be with God? How bad do you want to receive your reward? Someone says, well, Sean, I want to go to heaven real bad. In fact, I want to go to heaven more than anything else in my life. Well, my friend, I'm glad you said that. But let's just see now how true it is. You see, we got to understand that those who really want to go to heaven above anything else, they're going to be willing to do three very important things. First, people who really want to go to heaven, they're going to set their treasures in heaven. Isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice how Jesus says that we have to store up our treasures in heaven. And don't misunderstand his point. He's not saying it's wrong to store up treasures on this earth. He didn't say that. That's not his point. He's not saying it's wrong to have a nice house and a nice car and have jewelry and have money in your bank account. That's not what the Lord is saying. But what he is emphasizing here is how storing up earthly treasures, that shouldn't be your primary focus in life. Your primary focus in life needs to be storing up treasures in heaven. It needs to be doing things like reading your Bible and praying and trying to win lost souls and doing good towards other people. That's how you store treasures in heaven. And that needs to be your primary focus in life. People who really want to go to heaven, they set their treasures in heaven. And people who really want to go to heaven, you know what else they do? They think about heaven all the time. They think about heaven all the time. Let me ask you something. How often do you think about heaven on a daily basis? In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. Now, again, like with what Jesus did in Matthew 6, Paul is using elliptical language to de-emphasize one thing while at the same time emphasizing something else. He's not saying here that it's wrong to think about things on this earth. He knows it'll be impossible for us not to do that. But his point is, our mind should not be absorbed in this world above being absorbed in going to heaven. That's his point. He is saying that above anything else, we should be thinking about the things in heaven. We should be thinking about the things above all the time. That's the point Paul is making. And the question is what he's talking about there, does that describe our lives? Does that describe your life? Does that describe my life? As Christians, do we ponder all the time how wonderful heaven is going to be? And how there we get to be with God and we get to be with His Son? Do we constantly think about the things of heaven, the glories of heaven? Do those kind of things flood our minds all the time? Or are we constantly thinking about the world, thinking about money, thinking about stuff, thinking about sports and the other things of this life? You see, according to the Bible, those who really want to go to heaven, they're going to think about heaven all the time. Heaven is going to be on their mind constantly throughout the day. And then finally, those who really want to go to heaven, as we said earlier this morning, they're going to do what it takes to make it. They're going to obey God. You know, when I think about this point, I can't help but think about the story of the rich young ruler. Do y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler? Remember in Mark chapter 10, Jesus comes across this young man who was a ruler, and he came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He wanted to know what to do to go to heaven. And Jesus told him, you know the commandments, do not steal, do not kill, honor your father and mother, don't covet. And that young man said, I know the commandments and I've kept those things from the time I was a young boy. And Jesus told him, you've answered correctly, but there's one thing you lack. He said, go sell all you possess, give it to the poor, and then you come and you follow me. Jesus says, if you do that, you have treasures in heaven. And when that young man heard that, you know what the Bible says he did? He went away sad because he owned many possessions. You see, here's an example of somebody who said they wanted to go to heaven with their mouth, but they were unwilling to do what it took to make it to heaven. This is an example of a young man who loved his stuff more than he loved his Lord. And the question is, what about us? I mean, are we willing to do what it takes to make it to heaven? Or are we like the rich young ruler? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am by no means suggesting that we can earn our way to heaven. I am not suggesting that. My friends, I'm not saying that if we make it to heaven, we've made it there because we earned it. Or because we deserve it. Or because we're so good, we're so righteous. No sir and no ma'am. None of us deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve it and you don't deserve it. You know why? Because we sinned against God. We violated His law. That's Romans 3:23. You see, when we make it to heaven, it's not going to be because we were so good. But rather, it's going to be because God is so good. It's going to be because of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's forgiveness. I'm not talking about earning our way to heaven. Instead, I'm talking about accepting God's grace on His terms. I'm talking about surrendering to the will of God and obeying His commandments. I'm talking about what Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, verse 21, when Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does," Jesus says, you got to do something. "He who does the will of the Father will enter." Jesus says, we got to do the will of the Father. Doing the will of the Father includes doing things like obeying His plan of salvation, believing in Jesus, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, being immersed in the waters of baptism. It includes growing in our faith and in our knowledge of God's Word after we obey the gospel, never becoming stagnant in our spiritual walk. It includes loving one another and even loving our enemies. It includes doing good to our brothers and sisters in Christ, building them up in the faith. It includes counting the cost of what it means to be a true disciple. Sacrificing our will for the will of Jesus and even enduring persecution for the sake of righteousness. It also includes doing our best to share the message of God's love and grace with other people. Obeying the words of Jesus, to go out into the world, making disciples of the nations. You see, these are the kinds of things that God commands us to do. And if we really want to go to heaven, guess what? We're going to do them. We're not going to argue about them. We're not going to debate them. We're going to do them. We're going to surrender completely to the will of Jesus. Now, all I tried to show you this morning, and I want to encourage you, and I hope you're encouraged by the fact that heaven's going to be great. Are you encouraged by that? Heaven's going to be great. It's going to be great because that's where God lives. It's going to be great because there's no wickedness. We're going to get our reward. We're going to be there forever. These are the things that make heaven so wonderful and so great. And the greatest thing about all these things is God offers these blessings to everybody. He offers them to me and He offers them to you. He doesn't just offer these blessings to a select few. You see, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to understand you're not in a hopeless situation. I want you to understand that God wants you to go to heaven. I want you to understand that Jesus died so you can go to heaven. But you have to accept God's grace on His terms. You have to believe in His Son. Turn away from sin and be immersed in the waters of baptism. If you'll do those things, you'll become a Christian. You'll become a child of God. And if you have done those things in the past, but you're not living right, God wants you to repent this morning. Turn away from sin. Come back to Him. And He will forgive you. And so if there's someone here this morning who needs to get on the path going to heaven because you're not on that path right now, and you come to the front, and we'll help you right now as we stand and as we sing.